Well, this afternoon's conference is on one of the most fascinating events that occurred in the early part of this century, and that is how the Legion cleaned up the entire red light district of Dublin, and that red light district was called Bentley Place. And this account is taken from Frank Duff's book called Miracles on Tap, which is one of the best books you'll ever read. It's like reading a chapter out of the Acts of the Apostles. It's incredible, the graces and the miracles of conversions and return to the sacraments that took place in just 4 years when the Legion was working in that very wicked and evil part of Dublin. It's in the northern part of Dublin, and Bentley Place was a place of vice, a place of prostitution, crime, murder, and alcoholism. It was the most dangerous neighborhood in Dublin. Many people went down to that neighborhood and were never heard from again. People were robbed there, people were murdered, and it was a place that had actually been around for over 200 years. Bentley Place had been in existence since the 1700s and in operation since the 1700s. Oftentimes the authorities would try to change the name of the place, which they thought, well, that might make a difference, but just by changing the name of the place did not do any good. Originally, it was called Monto, after Montgomery Street, which was one of the six or seven streets in which Bentley Place fell. Eventually, it was changed to Tyrone Street, and then in Frank Duff's time, it was called Bentley Place, after the main street. And this particular place, Bentley Place, was known all over Ireland and even other parts of the world for being an area in which prostitution was taking place, and the government basically turned and looked away. In fact, in the Encyclopedia Britannica, Bentley Place is mentioned as one of the places in the entire world where prostitution was being made available in such an extent that shiploads of sailors would go down there, large groups of men would go down there, and the government basically did not try to tackle it because they felt, well, if they tried to stop it, it would just spread to other parts of Dublin, and the authorities thought, well, at least we'll keep it all in one place. Well, Frank Duff had a different idea, and the Legion had a different idea. Now, how the Legion got into this work of visiting the red light district was they had set up what was called Sancta Maria Hostel, which was a home for girls, street girls, and other women. And it was a place where the women would live before they were maybe restored to their families or found jobs. And out of this hostel, one of the girls left and went down to live in Bentley Place. And so it was discussed at a Presidium meeting, what should we do? Should we go after her or not? And of course, they figured they should try to go out and get this girl that had gone to live in this Bentley Place. But other people were saying, it's impossible. How could you send a respectable person? How could the legionaries go even into a place like that? There were so many dangers, not only the possibility of losing their lives, but also many other dangers as well. And so Frank Duff decided to find out as much as he could about this place. So he asked people questions, but really nobody knew much about this place. He would say, well, how many girls are down there? Nobody could give him any information. So he went down to visit the local priest whose parish sort of came around Bentley Place. And Bentley Place fell in this particular priest's parish. And so Frank Duff asked him if he would be willing on a particular day, like in a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning, just to walk down through the streets of Bentley Place in broad daylight just to have a look at it. And that way people could see Frank Duff with the priest and know that, you know, would put him in a religious light. And this was a very heroic priest. But you know what he said? He said, my knees would go out from under me. He says there's no way he felt he could go down there. He wasn't worried about the physical danger. If it was just the physical danger, he would have run down there. But he was afraid of lies and rumors and that he that the priest could be frequenting the place. So it was not the physical danger he was worried about, but ruining his good name and reputation. So Frank Duff didn't get any headway there, so he got one of the legionaries to go with him, a woman named Mrs. Plunkett. Mrs. Plunkett went with him, so they met at 11 o'clock in the morning one day, and the legionaries had found the name of a woman who was living down there in Bentley Place, and she was one of the prostitutes. And so they decide to go down and see her. And her name was Mary Tate. And she lived on number 8. So Frank Duff says he memorized it by using a nursery rhyme, Mary Tate of number 8. And he says he held onto that name like glue. And in his narrative of Miracles on Tap, which he wrote in the late 1930s, he changed her name to Mary Line of number 9. Just because some of her family was still alive at the time, but her real name was Mary Tate of number 8. So when Frank Duff and Mrs. Plunkett got to the main street to enter Bentley Place, they looked up and they saw number 1, the first address was here, and number 21 was here. So they found out that number 8 was way at the other end of the street. So they said, there's going to be no quick escape now. So they started walking down the street. They said it was a beautiful day. The place was very quiet. Some people were standing around. And they became immediately an object of curiosity. Who was this man and woman, you know, walking down the street? So they wondered what was going to happen next. And all of a sudden, a poor derelict of a man who was leaning up against the house suddenly came alive and came out in front of them. And Frank Duff thought he was going to have to fight. But as the man got near, the man recognized Frank Duff and said, Mr. Duff. And he held out his hand and he shook Frank Duff's hand and he called him by name. Frank Duff had known him from the other side of the city, from the south side of Dublin, and apparently Frank Duff had been a great help to this man. And so he said, Frank Duff wrote, he says, Grace greeted me by name. And so that gave Frank Duff the perfect introduction to Bentley Place. And so Frank Duff stayed and talked to this man as long as he could to delay, so that as many people could see him talking to this particular man. Frank Duff was genius. You know, he was gentle as a lamb, but as clever as a snake, clever as the serpent, as Scripture says. And so this gave Frank Duff even a better introduction than the priest could have given. Because if Frank Duff walked down there with the priest, they would have known that he was trying to close down the place. But one of their own had greeted Frank Duff by name, and pretty soon others would be willing to talk to him. So they, after Frank Duff finished talking with him, they continued walking down to number 8. They found a house. The door was open, as all the doors would be open. And he walked into the hall and went to the first door on the left, and he knocked on the door. From inside, they heard a voice say, come on in. Well, they walked in, and there were 5 women in the room. 4 girls were standing around the bed. Frank Duff says they were young, beautiful girls. He knew what they were, of course, prostitutes. And there was a 5th one laying in bed. And Frank Duff says, does Mary Tate live here? And the girl said, yes, she's the one in bed. She's very sick. She's dying. And Frank Duff says, has she seen the priest? And the girl says, no priest will come down here. Well, has she seen the doctor? And the girl said, well, she won't let us send for the doctor. Frank Duff says, by this time, his confidence was fully restored. And he says, are you just going to let her die there like a dog? And so he walked outside, and he saw a young man sitting on a wall, and it was one of the young, tough bullies, as they called him, one of the unofficial police of the area. And so he called the young fella over and says, run around the street and get me a cab. We're going to take Mary Tate to the hospital. He says, right away. And so he ran off, and Frank Duff says, now this was something new. He was being obeyed. And so the young man ran off and got the cab. And the young man ran off, got the cab, and then when the cab came, the girls inside the house got Mary Tate ready to go to the hospital. and they took her to the old Venero Hospital in Dublin. As soon as she got to the hospital, they sent for a priest, and the priest came, heard her confession, and gave her the last sacrament. And the doctor of the hospital said that if she had one more hour without medical attention, she would have been dead. And so this was a tremendous sign for the legionaries, that in a sense they were led there by her guardian angel, right down the street, right into that house, right to her bedside, and were able to bring her to the hospital where she got to see the priest. Now, with medical attention, she lived for 6 weeks, and she died at peace with God. And just before her death, she called all the other men and women in the hospital on that floor together, and they prayed the rosary together, and she died at the end of the rosary. And so then there was a great funeral, Frank Duff said, and he said the entire population of Bentley Place showed up for the funeral. He says, this group of people, you've never seen the likes of it in your whole life. Well, Frank Duff makes an interesting point. He says, years later, something very interesting happened, that he was called to tie up all the loose ends of this woman's life, of Mary Tate's life. Years later, Frank Duff says he was in Mullingar, and he was at a Legion Congress. And after the Congress, some of the legionaries invited him back to their house. And they asked him to tell the story of Bentley Place. And so when he mentioned the story and about this name, everybody got excited. They said, Mary Tate, she left as a young girl when she was 18 years old, and she disappeared from Mullingar. And nobody ever heard from her again. They had no idea whatever happened to her. Well, it turns out she went to Bentley Place and spent many years there, and yet was the one who came back to the sacraments on her deathbed. And she had been the local mystery girl. And Frank Duff was able to tie up the loose ends of her life by telling her relatives and her friends at Mullingar what actually had happened to her and how she had come back to God before her death. So going back to the room after the cab took Mary Tate to the hospital, Frank Duff was there still with Mrs. Plunkett and two of the girls. The girls invited them to come over to their house, and where they met with three other girls. And so Frank Duff and Mrs. Plunkett were telling the girls that they should get out of this wicked life of sin and that they should come to Sancta Maria Hostel, where they could have a place to live. And they were trying to convince them to come. And the girls were very polite, very open. And just then a young man came in the room who was about 22 years of age. And Frank Duff said he looked like Rudolph Valentino. And they thought he had been sent in to get rid of Frank Duff. So when Frank Duff saw him, says Frank Duff got ready for a fight. Because he says, we weren't going to walk out of there just for being asked. He said that we were not going to leave just because we were crested to go. So, but the young man didn't show any hostility. In fact, he just sort of listened to what was going on. It turns out he was one of the bullies of the area, and that he was the brother of one of the girls that they were talking with, a young girl named Victoria Smith. And this young bully was a shoplifter by day and a bully by night. Well, Frank Duff went over and talked to him and told him how evil a life this was and how he should get out of it. And the young man agreed. He agreed he should get out of this way of life, but he said he had no alternative. There's nowhere else he could go. And so Frank Duff wrote a letter to Father Devan, a priest that Frank Duff was friends with, and gave it to this young fellow and said, go take this to Father Devan. And it was a letter of introduction. And Father Devan, in the letter, said to him to get this young fellow to go on a retreat and if he could help him find a job. So the young man eventually gave this letter to Father Devan. He showed up, and he went on a retreat, and then Father Devan got him a job over in Liverpool, England. And years later, this young man kept in touch with Frank Duff. He gave up his life of sin, went to Liverpool, settled down, had a good job, and kept in contact with Frank Duff and was very well and happy. Well, after that particular incident of talking to this young man, they left that room and visited with more of the girls. These are beautiful, well-dressed, neat girls. No sign of alcohol at this time. It was still early in the day. But now they went to another house, and they found the battered and women who had been on the street for years. They were perpetual drinkers. They were dressed in filthy rags. A dreadful appearance, Frank Duff says. And eight of them were living in this one house. And yet, he says, they were very willing to listen, very pleasant and nice to talk to. But as they were talking to this group of these eight haggard women, somebody came in carrying a big bottle of methylated spirits, which was more like moonshine or whiskey. And it was very cheap and gave quite a kick. And so as soon as these women who had been on the streets for years saw this bottle, they lost all interest in Frank Duff and Mrs. Plunkett, and their eyes riveted on this bottle. And so it says, as soon as they saw this, they were transformed, and each was given two glasses, a glass of the methylated spirit and also a glass of water, because after you drank this alcohol, you know, once you got drunk, then once that wore off, if you drank a glass of water, it would revive the effects and you could remain drunk. So Frank Duff says what ensued was like a witch's rite. He says the eyes were riveted on the bottle. They formed a circle, and in the glasses, the alcohol was poured. And after they all drank this, they formed a ring of rosy and started going around in a circle, singing and dancing, and they even pulled Frank Duff and Mrs. Plunkett into this ring of rosy. And Frank Duff said, if you had a video camera, you would have made $1 million, because it was the funniest thing you ever saw, Frank Duff and Mrs. Plunkett being led around in the ring of rosy with these ladies. Well, eventually, the women all passed out, and they fell on the beds and passed out. And so, but while they were sober, Frank Duff and Mrs. Plunkett had told them about a retreat they were going to organize at Sancta Maria Hostel. But because of the drink, they figured they would not even remember that conversation. But they did know that these women were in no condition with their clothing that they had that they could ever leave Bentley Place. So what they decided to do was the next day, they would come down and bring about more clothing for these women, some clothing that would be decent. And so this was now about 5 o'clock in the evening, and they had been in Bentley Place since 11 o'clock in the morning, and they had spent the whole day there, and not one fight had broken out against them, not one harsh word was said against them. And so they went back to Sancta Maria and reported this at the Presidium meeting, and it said the people were just amazed. And they'd actually gotten 40 promises from these women to go on the retreat. And so they began to prepare for the retreat. And so they got clothing, and they took the clothing down the next day, which was a Friday, and it was the day before the retreat. And so Miss Massey and Frank Duff went down with a suitcase full of clothing down to that particular house. And the women did remember them and did remember their promises. And Frank Duff says, there followed the distribution of the clothing. He said, it was one of the most incredible things you ever saw. The women fought like tigers to get these clothes, and that they began to change into their clothes right there in front of Frank Duff and Mrs. Massey. So Frank Duff had to look the other way and stepped out for a minute, because it didn't bother them that there was a man there. So he says, all sorts of interesting things happened down at Bentley Place. He tells a story of one woman who was 38 years old, who actually said, whatever you do, take me right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. She says, you must take me now, because I hate this life, and if you don't take me now, I'll never find my way down there. And so Frank Duff wrote a letter to the matron of the venereal hospital to keep her for the night. And the next day, to make sure that somebody brought her over to the retreat. And so this woman took the letter from Frank Duff, went down to the venereal hospital, and she was allowed to stay there. And the next day, when the retreat happened, this woman was the first one there and greeted Frank Duff with great joy. She was sober and clean, and Frank Duff said he had to look at her 6 times in order to recognize her. She had been on the street, a prostitute and a heavy drinker, for 16 years. And Frank Duff says, and that girl never looked back. She had perfect behavior. She stayed there for 3 months in Santa Maria. And after 3 months, she said, Mr. Duff, there's a fellow living down there, namely in Bentley Place, that said he would marry me if he could rely on me. I want you to go down and see him and tell him that I'd like to marry him if he's willing to take me. So on a Saturday afternoon, Frank Duff went down to this locality and got the name and address, and he went into this man's room. He said he was one of the roughest looking characters he'd ever seen in his life, one of the toughest looking individuals he ever met. So he told this man the story, how this woman had expressed interest, and that was he willing to marry her. And he says, yes, I'm willing to marry her if you can believe her. And Frank Duff gave his impressions of how the last 3 months she had been sober and had done nothing but been exceptional in her behavior. And so then he told Frank Duff, he said, I'll tell her I'll marry the old hen. And so he married her, and they lived happily ever after. And Frank Duff says that these were first-class miracles that kept occurring time and time again. And so that evening before the retreat, the legionaries went back into Bentley Place, but by that time, the night had fallen and there were a lot of men there. The place was thronged with men, and nobody was even willing to speak with them. Drink had set in, and Frank Duff said, he was wondering if anybody was going to turn up for this retreat. And yet 9 women came from Bentley Place and some others from local lodging houses. So they had their first retreat was 13 or 14 women. He said it was very successful. They all went to confession. They all came back to the sacraments. Because back then in Ireland, almost all of them were Catholics, fallen away Catholics. Some of them were Protestants, and some of them eventually converted. Frank Duff tells of one woman named Maggie Ballard, who was called the Queen of the Spunkers, spunkers being the methylated spirit. She was 22 years living in Bentley Place, 22 years a prostitute. And she was originally from Glasgow, Scotland. And Frank Duff said she came and made the retreat, and she never looked back. And Frank Duff was able to restore her to her family over in Scotland, over in Glasgow. And so after this, the legionaries were very heartened and inspired by what was taking place, and they began visiting Bentley Place every single Friday night. Frank Duff would go with different lady legionaries, and he would always take a few different ones every week to train them. He said their courage and efficiency was something to marvel at. And also a group of legionaries would go every Sunday morning to Bentley Place to try to get the people to go to Mass. But they were always sleeping off the debauchery of the night before. But every Friday night, they would go down, and week after week, they would usually get almost every week one, maybe two girls to leave the street, to come off the street. And so Frank Duff says, we picked them off one by one every Friday night. He says when they got one woman to agree, all the legionaries would leave and go with her to Santa Maria. Now, one of the most interesting stories was with a woman named Babs Hoy. And this taught Frank Duff a great lesson. He says she was in his office one day working, and a colleague of his came and said, Mr. Duff, I'm sure your work with the girls is a very difficult work. And Frank Duff says, well, no, not really. Well, he says, I'll bet there's a lot of hopeless cases. Don't you have some hopeless cases? Frank Duff says, no, we don't really like to refer to them as hopeless. We think they're more challenges. If we use the word hopeless, it might diminish our effort. So he says, well, just man to man, Mr. Duff, do you have any really hopeless cases? And Frank Duff says, yes. And then he told the story of a woman named Babs Hoy. And this girl was a very nice girl, had never been rude or never been angry towards them. But Frank Duff says, I never saw a spark of religion in her in the whole time that we were visiting. And so Frank Duff presumed that she just had no interest in God or in spirituality. Well, then eventually the men went back to work, and that evening was the night of their Friday night visitation. And so that night they were taking a statue down to a family that lived near Bentley Place, and they had to walk through that one particular area. And so Frank Duff was carrying this big statue, and it was wrapped up in brown paper. And it was wrapped up in such a way that you couldn't tell what was underneath it. And so as Frank Duff and the two lady legionaries were walking down the street, on the opposite side of the street, Babs Hoy, this woman that he had talked about that day, was on the other side of the street and called out to them, Mr. Duff, aren't you going to have a word with us this evening? And so Frank Duff went over to her, and she says, what are you carrying? And he says, oh, Babs, no use telling you. You wouldn't understand. And she says, please, what's in there? Tell me what's in there. Oh, Frank Duff says, you wouldn't know anything about it. It's outside your realm entirely. And Frank Duff said he methodically tormented her until he had her in the ninth degree of curiosity. And so just when she couldn't stand it any longer, Frank Duff pretended to yield, and he tore the paper off the face of the statue and looked right at her. And she was shocked, and she turned white, and she couldn't believe it. And then she looked at the statue and looked at Frank Duff and looked at the statue, and she spoke then in a very gentle and somewhat sorrowful voice and said, Mr. Duff, is that what you really think of me? And Frank Duff says, well, you know, Babs, you've always been very nice and very polite to us, but I've never seen a spark of religion in you. And then she said, well, you know, when I turn around, it's not going to be like some of these other girls. When I turn around, it's going to be for good. And Frank Duff says, you really plan to turn your life around someday? And she said, yes. And then Frank Duff says, why not make it now, Babs? She thought about it for a moment, and she said, okay. And so she went inside her house, got changed, they called a cab, and they went off and delivered the statue to the family, and they took her over to Santa Maria Hostel. Now, this funny thing happened as they were driving down the road. They came up to a street corner where there was a famous pub called the Winter Gardens, famous bar, and she leaned over to Mr. Duff and says, Frank, will you do me a favor? He says, I'll do anything within reason. And she says, could you get me a glass of whiskey? And Frank Duff says, certainly. And so they stopped the car. He ran out to the bar, went in, got her a glass of whiskey, brought it back, and she drank it down. And then they went off to Santa Maria. Frank Duff says, and that girl never looked back, never again offended God. That after a few months of her being at Santa Maria, she talked to Frank Duff about going to see a certain man that she was friends with. And Frank Duff went and told this man about her, and this man agreed to marry her. And Frank Duff says that this man was a Quaker, and that when he married her, he converted to the Catholic faith and was baptized. And so Frank Duff learned a great lesson, that very day, when he said that the only hopeless case out of all those girls, that was the one he picked, Babs Hoy. And that very night, she slept at Santa Maria Hostel. And when he spoke those words that she was a hopeless case, she was never again to offend God in that way. So it's a great lesson for us as legionaries that there are no hopeless cases, that everybody can be touched by God's grace and God's mercy. So this continued every week, picking off the girls one by one. When they agreed, they would go back to Santa Maria. They did this for 2 years, and they could actually see this area, the red light district, was diminishing. There was only about half as many girls there now. And Frank Duff said he became friends with the girls, with the bullies, and with the owners. He said it was always helpful to have the bullies on your side. And he said that one of the big owners down there was a woman named Mrs. Curley. Her real name was Mrs. Meehan, and she owned 13 brothels in that area. And the way things worked was that the owner would get one-third of the profits, the manageresses would get one-third, and the girls would get a third of the profits. And the income would come in three ways, from prostitution, from drink sold around the clock, and from robbery. And they would sell the alcohol for extraordinary prices. And oftentimes, people were robbed down there. When they went and found a prostitute, oftentimes during the night, their clothing would be gone into, and the men were lucky to get out of there with their clothes even. And so they would sometimes get large sums of money stolen from them. Frank Dove says some men would go down there with thousands of dollars on their way to the cattle markets of Dublin, and many of them never came out alive, because if they started to fight and say, "Where is my money?" a number of men would beat them up, and then they would just bury the fella, and he'd never be heard from again. Now, he says something miraculous then intervened. He said each year in the local parish, there was a mission, a four-week mission right before Lent. And this year, the Jesuits were called to come in to give the retreat. One of them was Father Devan, a good friend of Frank Duff. Another was Father Mackey. Another was Father Roach. And when the priest came in to give this retreat, Father Devan told the other priest about Bentley Place, that it actually came in the parish boundaries. And so normally, whenever they had the retreat, they would just not visit this particular area of Bentley Place. But they decided to throw the whole thrust of the retreat against Bentley Place. And so they called in Frank Duff, and Frank Duff told the whole story of how they had worked for the last 2 years, and that they had diminished it to about half the girls. And so what they decided to do was to make a great campaign of prayer and sacrifice for the conversion of Bentley Place. And they kept telling people, pray, pray, pray for Bentley Place. They called in all the legionaries from around Dublin to do door-to-door visitation in the whole parish to get people to come to the mission and to pray for the closing down of Bentley Place. So Frank Duff says the retreat started off very modestly with lots of empty seats in the church, but pretty soon, day after day, week after week, it grew and the mission was packed. You had to get there early even to get a seat. And Frank Duff says a strange fervor developed. A new atmosphere entered in. And so what the priest decided to do was to go with Mr. Frank Duff and to meet with the different owners and manageresses of the brothels to see if they would be willing to close down. One particular woman they met with was this Mrs. Curley, and they met her at the Belvedere Hotel. She came beautifully dressed, and as soon as she came in to the hotel, she said to Frank Duff and the priest, "If you could close down this place, I'd be the happiest woman in the whole world." She says, "When I try to go to confession, none of the priests will give me absolution because they always ask what kind of work I do. And when I say I own 13 brothels, they won't give me absolution." And then she says, "What else could I do? You know, I have 7 children. I can't close down my place." But the priest and Frank Duff did convince her to close down, and she agreed to shut down. She also said she would forgive any girl's debt that owed her money, and she would clothe them from head to toe and send them over to Sancta Maria. See, one of the biggest reasons why the girls stayed down there was because of debt, that all their clothing was on credit. And one of the ladies there, Mrs. Roberts, who was the costumier, she would charge an incredible expense for these clothes and charge interest. And basically, they had to have so much debt that they could not leave Bentley Place. And so time and time again, Frank Duff and the priest met with the other owners, and most of them agreed to shut down. And eventually, they even had a general meeting with all the girls in the kitchen of Mrs. Curley's house. And while Frank Duff was there, he says he was always looking for an underground system. Frank Duff, you know, used to love reading Agatha Christie novels and used to love reading Sherlock Holmes. So he figured there must be some underground passage where people would go to Bentley Place, because he said very prominent people would go down there. And he said that if a prominent person went down there, they would be detected and they would be blackmailed. And so Frank Duff was always looking for secret passageways, and he always was measuring the thickness of walls and looking for secret doors. And he could never find any. But he says eventually, after they had met with all these different owners, they called down one more who was the worst one among all the people in Bentley Place, and that was Mrs. Roberts. And she was known all over the world for being, she was a young girl, a prostitute, who then became a manageress and then even an owner of several houses. And she was the costumier. She was the one who kept the whole system going. And all the girls would have to resort to her because she gave them clothing on credit at high interest. And so Frank Duff eventually found out that she was the one who was really the one keeping the place going. Well, when she met with the priest and Frank Duff, they got nowhere with her. And she considered Frank Duff and these priests as just ridiculous for trying to close down this place. And Frank Duff tried to be very kind and very loving towards her, but says Father Mackey had enough. He says he lambasted her verbally, and you know, they got nowhere with her. She was one of the worst elements in the whole place, he said. Well, eventually they interviewed everybody of importance, and most of them said they'd shut down. And so they decided to buy the houses from these owners. And so Frank Duff went to a friend of his who gave them money to buy all these houses. And then what they would do was that they would bring in poor people from other parts of Dublin and give them a place to live. And so they picked a particular day and they shut down the place to the best that they could. And 2 days before, and this was occurred just 2 days before the end of the retreat, most of the girls entered Sancta Maria, and this now closed down about two-thirds of Bentley Place. Mrs. Curley closed down all her houses and sent all the girls to Sancta Maria, but two owners did not shut down, even though they had promised to. And so Frank Duff went around trying to find these people, and because he realized that they must shut down this place completely, because if they left it going, it would still be a temptation for some of the girls to go back, because it was still a very lucrative business. And so how the story ended was Frank Duff went to the commissioner of police, General Murphy, who was a very good Catholic, a very good man, who later became an auxiliary member of the Legion. And he listened to the whole story with rapt attention. And so then they picked a day, a Thursday night, in which the police would march in and force. Remember that now there was only about 30 girls that were still living as prostitutes in that area. And so on a particular night, the police marched in. They broke down doors. They went into all the houses and arrested every man and every woman that was down there, including the two owners. And Frank Duff says a great trial ensued in Dublin. All the men were let go. All the girls were let go. And they then they brought in, the legionaries went around to the other poor areas of Dublin, and they told people to come and to move into Bentley Place for a very moderate rent. And so Frank Duff says it was one of the most comical things you ever saw when people from all over Dublin came to Bentley Place with luggage and trucks pulled by different sorts of animals and hand carts and perambulators. And he says that within a day, Bentley Place was filled up with new tenants. And he says this was really the first houses that any of these poor people had ever had, and that he said to get rid of them would require military force to try to get rid of those people. They finally had a home. And so immediately, Frank Duff set up a presidium to work just in that area called Porta Coeli, Gate of Heaven, and they continued doing regular visitation. So now Bentley Place was officially shut down. They had gotten about 200 of the girls off the, a total of 200 girls had been down there. 100 they had gotten by their weekly visitation every Friday night, about 70 in the big closing, and about 30 more when they were imprisoned. And Frank Duff and the priest went down to the prison and spoke to the girls, and the girls, eventually all of them that came out of prison were released without any punishment, and they all went to Sancta Maria. So in 4 years, they had closed down this entire district of about 200 prostitutes. Now Frank Duff says that the closing was an amazing ceremony, because the retreat ended on Sunday, and the priest came down for the blessing of Bentley Place, 11 o'clock in the morning. And he says something very interesting. This is the first time that a priest had ever entered Bentley Place. Everything was done by the laity. Frank Duff and the legionaries were the only ones that entered Bentley Place. Now, the first time a priest actually went down there, and two or three priests went, and all dressed up in their cassock and surplice, and they went through and they blessed every house, blessed every room, and did an exorcism on every room. And finally, by this time, a vast crowd had joined. Hundreds and thousands of people were now in the streets watching all this happen. And he says that at the one center of Bentley Place, there was a high wall about 20 feet tall, and Frank Duff says they put a kitchen table against the wall and a chair on top of the table, and then Frank Duff climbed up on the table, up on the chair, and took a big crucifix and a big spike, and he drove the spike into the wall as high up as he could and placed the crucifix up on the wall to officially claim this area for Jesus Christ and to take over this area for Jesus. And so then the priest spoke and gave a beautiful homily about the seven last words of Christ and prayed that sin would never again enter this particular area. So he said, they formally took possession of that place for Jesus. And he says when they did that, the evil atmosphere, which Frank Duff had always felt when he was down in Bentley Place, when he walked down the street, there was always a presence of evil. But he says after the blessing and after they officially took it for Jesus and placed the crucifix up, that evil presence left. So then, what was very fascinating was that Frank Duff says that place never looked back, that it was the most successful thing of its kind in all of history. St. Vincent Ferrer had done great work among the prostitutes, but never had an entire district been cleaned up in such a short time with such a systematic approach, sustained effort, and total success. And the Legion continued to do follow-up visitation after the fact. And Frank Duff says, the place held good ever since. And so practically every single girl, as far as I know, was either restored to their family or came back to the sacraments, married a good person, and came back to the good graces of God. 200 girls were restored to the sacraments, and we can think of all the tens of thousands of people that were saved from sin because of the great work of Frank Duff and the Legion. So in 4 years, the entire district was cleaned up and the den of iniquity was closed down for good. And so Frank Duff says it was truly a miracle of God's grace how this happened. And all this is related in this book called Miracles on Tap, which I encourage you to read. I guarantee it, when you start reading it, you won't be able to put it down. It's one of the most fascinating books ever written about a true life account of how so many miracles occurred through the great heroism of Frank Duff and the early legionaries. God bless you.